As she goes down to squat, she shits her pants everywhere. Bro, what the? She had shorts on and had basically a blowout all over the floor.
Oh, no.
Dude, these classes are dark and loud music, but because she was in front of everyone, the entire class saw and smelled the incident. Everyone proceeded to get off their machines and tiptoe around the shit to leave class. We were gifted one free class and never heard of it again. Bro.
I don't know how you come back from that.
Dude, that is insane.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Oops, the podcast. Episode 498. It's a lot of episodes.
It's a ton of episodes.
Giulio Gallerati, joined here by producer and confidant Ryan Lynch.
That's me, Giulio.
Big Ryan Lynch.
How you doing?
Good, bro. I'm good. We're fully moved in. I am adjusting back to life as I knew it before, with just slightly different spin on it, a little Brooklyn action. Been running into a bunch of people in the neighborhood, which has been fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How so? Like going for walks? Are you doing more walks with Hillary?
No, just like doing the things that I need to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Out and about on the town. Not even that. Like going to the train or in transit.
But that's like a Brooklyn thing.
I walked to the train in Manhattan too.
I texted you on Saturday. I was expecting a little more excitement in the response. I said, God, are you Brooklyning right now? And then you said LOL. But like, I wanted you to know that I was like, you need to embrace this more. You need to appreciate Brooklyn.
I mean, dude.
It's kind of what this whole thing's all about.
I know. But dude, like, it's not as if I have been propelled into this new universe that I was unaware of. You know what I mean? Like, I've spent a lot of time here. Like, I'm just saying, like, I am enjoying it and it is wonderful and I like it way better than any apartment we've lived in before, both the neighborhood and the apartment. And I like it. And this particular part of Brooklyn where mm-hmm. we live, it's nice. Mm-hmm. So nearing 500 episodes, it's a lot of episodes. Thank you guys to all the new listeners who've come and started listening. All the OGs, who've enjoyed the pod over the years. Thanks for sticking around with us and having some fun. It's been a wild ride. This show, you definitely don't need to have listened from the beginning to keep up with it. It's more of like, think of it as like a daily talk show mm-hmm. format. So like, you know, if you were listening to Howard Stern, I don't think you would feel the urge to like start from the beginning. Because I know for me, that can sometimes be a difficult thing to overcome with the show. If there's like 19 seasons of a show, I'm like, how am I ever going to catch up?
Yeah.
You know?
I'll tune in on Grey's Anatomy with Victoria. I'm not going to go back to the first episode of that.
Then that show works well as one-offs, right? Like kind of like a, or not?
Yeah.
Law and Order.
There's overarching storylines that last like an entire season, but you get the gist.
You can tune in and tune out.
But this isn't Grey's Anatomy. We're just goofing around. No one's dying. The thing about Grey's Anatomy is one episode will be like a musical or like super silly and like everything's really high and mighty. And then and then the next episode is an 8-year-old boy comforting his mother hours before he goes through brain surgery and then ends up dying. Jesus. Like he's like, Mom, it's going to be okay.
And then
whether I live or whether I die, I got to be a dancer. And like, and then the mom cries and then the kid dies. And then the next episode is a silly one.
As you watch that, are you like, what the fuck? Turn this shit off.
A little bit. I mean, that's the type of thing that happens in a show or movie that could alter the way you feel the rest of the day.
Right.
Like, it's impactful.
You're like, what sick fuck wrote this? Like, this isn't even true. Like, why is this the arch?
So. Yeah. I don't know what they're getting at with that. I just started the Quiet on the Set documentary.
What's that?
That was about Nickelodeon. And Drake Bell and Amanda Bynes, all that cast. Basically, Dan Schneider and all the pedophile stuff going on in the background.
Early on to that show.
Yeah, that documentary just dropped. So
interesting. I've been seeing stuff about that on Twitter, but I haven't. I don't know what it was about, but interesting.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. Just wanted to mention that I'm watching it.
Some nice heavy subject matter suggestions from Lynch early in the show. It's great. Thank you, yeah. Ryan. All right. Well, dude, you have a birthday coming up. Hill Dog has a birthday coming up, and I want to discuss some stuff about birthdays in general. So sure. Do we think, listeners, that there are some birthdays that are more important than others and therefore need to be approached differently? What are those birthdays and what are the differences?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's obvious that the 40th birthday is one that you sort of do some big thing for, from what I've been seeing and hearing. You know, I think back in the day, at least, it was sort of like the halfway point of your life. I think these days, 40 feels a little younger than it used to. I'm not just saying that because I can smell it in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the too close of distance, but it's there. It's looming.
40 is the new 30.
I think so. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about getting older as long as I'm still able-bodied. You know what I mean? Once I'm not able to kind of like walk around, I think I will then start to become grumpier and upset.
Yeah. I don't think you need to worry about it, you specifically, or need to think about it too much. You're very youthful. I don't think 40 is going to like tag you as a point of no return as well.
Thank you,
Lynch. I think you'll be okay with that. That's, I do think any decade entering year is monumental.
What about, but then also like quarter century is, you know, 25 is a big one, right? Is 25 a big one?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? 16 is a big, okay. These are the ones that are absolutely big ones. 16 is a big one,
mm-hmm.
Right?
13 is a big one.
Is it for bar mitzvah?
Just teenager.
Interesting. I not like, it wasn't for me,
mm-hmm.
But I, was it for you?
Well, let's define, like, what do we mean by monumental birthday?
I mean
like,
that
life changing.
No, everybody agrees it's a big birthday. Is what,
okay.
I mean. So like, you know, as far as society is concerned, most people agree these are big ones, or there's like names for them, like Sweet 16, you know, that's a big one, mm-hmm. You know, like, and then 18, you're an adult, big one. 21 in America, you can drink, big one, right? 25, agreed. I'm not certain that 25 is important, but it's, you know, quarter century has a ring to it. On the decade, agree. 30, 40, 50, I guess they're all big.
Mm-hmm. If I was a parent, I would potentially, if I could, fiscally get involved with an 18th birthday, a 16th birthday, a 21st birthday by like helping throw a party or something, right. Like that. The 25th birthday, I'd take a step back and I wouldn't get too involved because I don't think that warrants special attention compared to those other dates leading up to it, or the 30th birthday, which I think is the most important one in between 21.
Why
and 30.
Is you being a parent significant? Just out of curiosity.
When it comes to a 16th birthday, I feel like it's a parent's responsibility to, right, kind of embellish a little bit. An 18th birthday, maybe, you know, that's a monumental, your kid has become an adult. 21, you buy them their first drink.
21, they're also not like really an adult yet. So the 25, to me, the reason you would step back is because they're an adult now. And like they can plan their own party because they're a big boy or girl.
Mm-hmm.
Is the step back in my mind. But from planning, at least, not from the significance of celebrating. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, every birthday is important for your kid, if you're a parent, maybe, if you care about them. But agreed, like some are bigger than others.
Yeah, I don't know if, okay, there's a specific date that you become an adult.
This, all right, this is starting to get convoluted. Generally speaking, it doesn't matter the perspective, parent, brother, sister, friend. In general, what are the birthdays that are important? If you are connected to the person, say you're their partner or their best friend or somebody who's like expected to show up and like do a good job, I guess, for this person, what are the ones where you're expected to go above and beyond? So to me, how old are you turning?
I'm turning 28.
28, okay. So to me, first of all, any birthday can warrant a fun celebration, right? Or a fun thing. So I don't think that you need to like, you don't have to like be 30 to do something special, right? Maybe you're just in the mood to do something special. I don't know what your plans are. I want to get into that in a second. Hill Dog, I don't want to disclose too much about Hill Dog's, the specifics of Hill Dog's life, but let's just say that she's hitting one of those ages that we all agree is important. If we've just agreed at some point, she's hitting one of those numbers.
We've agreed on that.
Okay. So a bunch of stuff's got happening, right? So she is coordinating her bachelorette party that weekend, and then she's throwing herself a birthday party on Saturday. So Friday, bachelorette, Saturday, party. which is fun because everybody who's already in town for the Bachelorette now gets to celebrate the party also. It's mm-hmm. a really clever way she's arranged this. Her friends are obviously helping her plan the Bachelorette, blah, 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 blah. But she threw herself this party. Now, I felt a little bad about that because in the past I'd been like, oh, maybe I'll throw you a party or something. And she's like, no, no, like do it for a more important birthday. Now the more important birthday is here. And alas, I have not planned the party. Mm-hmm. And I will say this though, planning a party is not my skill set. Like I don't plan parties. I don't fucking know how to do that. You know? So like how, like, is that okay? Like I'm still trying to do other special things for her.
Mm-hmm. I think that's okay. But if you're not going to be planning the party, should it be a surprise? Another way to show that you care would be to proactively go up to her and say, hey, what can I do to help make mm-hmm. X, Y, or Z happen for your birthday? Mm-hmm. What can I help with to make things just a little bit easier for you?
Right.
And that you don't need to be a party planner. You can just be a party helpful. Assignee and just, right. just take tasks.
A party
check
employee.
Something off of, yeah, a party employee. Check something off of her list. She'd greatly right. appreciate that.
Right. No, that's true. And I've offered and helped. And I've also said this, what I'm saying right now to her. I'm like, look, like I will show you that I care and that I'm going to make you feel special in the ways that I do, you know, in my way, mm-hmm. which will be a good enough way. Also, my way sometimes can be a bad way. I would argue that my way is thorough and thoughtful. If your way is neither of those things, your way is not good objectively, right? So I feel good about my way. I am going to take her to a musical.
Okay.
We're going to go see The Wiz.
What's The Wiz?
Okay, so The Wiz, I'm a little worried about The Wiz, to be honest. So she has a job, obviously, and this would be the day before The Bachelorette. So I thought she likes live shows, whatever. And I thought, won't it be fun to take her to a live show? We've gone in the past. We went to Moulin Rouge, which we did not like. We went to see Come From Away. She took me to Come From Away. We loved it. I took her to Moulin Rouge, which wasn't a good one, which was fun in its own way. But if I go back to back musicals that aren't good, I worry about that for my legacy. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the draws to The Wiz were that it started at a better time given the time that she works. So I thought it'll be fun. We go to a nice dinner, special dinner. And then we go to The Wiz. Most of the musicals start at 7. So a lot of the maybe more popular ones or the highly reviewed ones that everybody wants to see all start at 7 that day. There's only one or two that started at 8. I had heard The Wiz was fun. There's a couple, you know, big people in it who she has not heard of, which hurt my case a little bit. I'm like, Deborah Cox is in it. She's like, who's Deborah Cox? Uh-huh. I'm like, you know, how did you get here? Nobody's supposed to be here. You know that one?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know who she is either?
No.
And then I'd be like, she sings this. She'd be like, that. She does not sing that. Someone else sings that. I'm like, well, what about this? And she's like, she does not sing that either. Mm-hmm. I think Wayne Brady is in it. Although I'm not sure. She also didn't know who that was.
Do you? I know Wayne Brady. You know Wayne Whose Brady? Line is it anyway? Who's He's the goat. Anyway?
He's the goat. So anyway, I'm hoping that The Wiz ends up being good. We've been joking around, singing Ease On Down the Road. That's one of the big ticket songs. Hopefully she'll like The Wiz. I don't know. And I also got her a gift that I think will exceed her expectations as far as gift giving. It's one of those gifts that I'm excited to give her. Mm-hmm. I wish I could give it tomorrow.
That's a fun feeling.
I know. She's not going to think she's going to get this. I think it's very thoughtful and something that she likes. And it wasn't an easy, like, I want this, so I got it. You know what I mean? I don't think she would ever expect that she's going to get this thing for me. So I feel pretty good about it. But I just want to make sure that I'm being a good partner.
No, your thoughtfulness, what do you have, the three somethings for gift giving?
The S triangle.
The S triangle, you having that system in place is already better than what most people do. So you're all set in the gift department. I don't know. Michael Jackson is in the adaptation of The Wiz.
Yeah.
I've never heard of The Wiz.
Yeah, dude.
But I hope you guys have fun.
Okay, the S triangle. And to be honest, live events are not really included in the S triangle in a way. It's stylish, sentimental, and then silly/sensible. Mm. But there should be something in there for a live show because experiential things are fun too. Is there an S that covers that? We turn this into the S square or the S rhombus.
Setting.
Mm. Nice. Nah, that's something. Would something like this fall under the sentimental category? Maybe, probably not. No. Or yeah, the Ass Triangle. No,
unless she's a big Wiz fan, and from her not being able to recall the singers, I'd say that's not the case. The Wiz. So it's the Wizard of Oz.
It's a fun take on the Wizard of Oz.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I have not seen it either. I was familiar with it, and generally, you know, a Broadway show. It's on Broadway, right? I don't know.
I don't think they put bad shows on Broadway.
Which I thought too until I saw Moulin Rouge, and then I was like, okay, well, this needs to maybe be considered.
Was it bad?
It was.
Or was it boring?
It was terrible.
It was like genuinely bad.
It was terrible. And you know what? It's actually tricky because it's won a bunch of Tonys for things that it deserves Tonys for, like set design and like costumes. But the show itself, dude, is just like a mashup of like pop songs in a way that is like so, so bad. Mm. No offense to Moulin Rouge, dude. I'm sorry. The people in it were amazing. They sang amazing. But like I'll give you an example. Like out of nowhere, they'll be talking and then they'll start singing these like popular songs.
Dude, like it's Firework?
Dude, it's I'm not even kidding. Yes. Like, oh, come on. Like, you're just going to show up and like to dinner like that? You came in like a wrecking ball. Like singing popular songs in the Broadway vibrato. It's like the most cringe fucking thing. And dude, look, like I feel bad criticizing things like this because, you know, when I put things out, when people pan them, I feel like shit about it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, and then I'm like, why would they ever say that? But dude, like hear the songs, like Chandeliers in it, like all these songs, like
they sing them to completion.
All my single ladies. No, they won't even sing them to completion. They'll sing like two sentences or they'll combine two songs. Raise your glass is in there.
Oh, that's a yeah.
Shine bright like a diamond, dude. Like horrible.
And what's the general storyline?
It's like there's like a brothel and it's in France and like, dude, I don't even know. She like falls in love with the guy. It's like, I don't like the idea of taking an existing thing and making it worse. So like there's these good songs that we all like. Why do we need to make a musical out of it? It's a fun idea. It's a novel idea. I know the movie's popular. I went to see it on Broadway. I didn't like it. We left before act two. We left during intermission.
Fair.
Because we just didn't like it. It wasn't for us. So I'm not trying to backtrack my scathing review. I didn't like, I really didn't like it. If you're into the things I'm describing, maybe you'd like it. And I know it's popular, but it seemed pretty unsophisticated to me. This episode of Oops the Podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. So Lynch, I think I'm going to start going back to therapy, dude. The time has come. It's good. It's been like a whirlwind year for me so far. I've done a lot of stuff and I feel like I've been shooting for the hip, which is great. But sometimes a little therapy is nice for a check-in. Just to sort of, for me at least, reinforce what I've set out to do, make myself feel a little bit better, being kind to yourself. There have been times where I have went to therapists and we ended up doing the therapy in a specific style that I didn't necessarily want. And maybe sometimes it ended up being helpful or maybe sometimes it didn't, but still I didn't realize that there are such distinct specific approaches to therapy. And the thing that's so cool about BetterHelp is that you can sort of like pre-screen a lot of that stuff. So if there are specific things that you think you want to work on or specific topics or specific just like general things, not only do you get to actually say that, but they also like generally interview you. It doesn't take long, but it's nice to like get all that stuff out of the way. Like, who do you want your therapist to be? Do you want it to be a man? Do you want it to be a woman? Do you want it to be somebody who is, you know, from the LGBTQ community or whatever? There's like a bunch of different things that you can select. And I think that's really nice. And also, like I was saying before, from an approach perspective, there are certain things where I'm like, oh, my old therapist did this to me and I didn't like it. I didn't want it. So I didn't check it here because I'm like, I don't need that. I don't want that. And like, I ended up in this, you know, 3-year rabbit hole going to this guy who, while he helped me in some ways, I don't think it was overall a perfect fit. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm excited about giving BetterHelp a shot, scheduling my first appointment very soon. And I'm just looking forward to see what it's like.
Good for you, man.
I've enjoyed the process so far of getting things together. And I've been matched up with a therapist and we are figuring out a time to meet. So, and you can also pick how you want to correspond with your therapist if you prefer more like video, or you can also just message them if you want. It's a great service. I'm happy that it exists. I'm looking forward to trying it. And I suspect it could be a very nice thing for a lot of people as well. Yeah. So right now, learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/oops today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/oops. Okay, so my friend, he's my manager. And a lot of the time, if we're in driving distance from gigs, we'll drive his car together. I've driven his car a million times by myself too. He let me have his car. I did Syracuse and Albany, which I've talked about briefly on this show, right? We talked about that briefly. And then drove back, a lot of driving, no big deal. Before I handed the car off to him, I filled it up, and I had to fill it up a few different times on this trip. And filled the car up with gas cards, which I want to talk about as well. Remind me if I forget. And I passed the car off to him. Great. He then has the car and he calls me. He's like, hey, did you put regular, like 87 grade fuel in the car or 93? Just out of curiosity. I'm like, what do you, I'm like 87. Why? And he's like, oh, there's like something wrong with the engine. He's like, I think you're supposed to put premium in it or whatever. And I'm like, is that a thing? I've never put premium fuel in a car. And I've driven other people's nice cars. Maybe I learned my lesson and I will now ask people. But, and he's like, sorry, I should have told you. And he actually hasn't followed up on it since. So I don't know the status of this. I don't know if it was just bad luck. I handed the car over, the engine light went on, or what the deal was. But I was curious, is that a thing?
I don't know. Well, I'm a caught off on what's an 87? What's a 93?
So you know,
where do I see that at the gas station?
So you know how there's the three buttons you can press?
Yes. It'll be like the regular black, and then maybe a green one.
Sure. Well, the green is usually diesel.
Okay.
Which will absolutely fuck your car up.
I just know not to use it.
Correct.
I don't read anything.
Okay. So it'll be like 87, 89, 93 or something. 87 is regular unleaded, 89 unleaded plus, 93 is premium. All different kinds of gas. It was my understanding that the only advantage to using the premium was that your car might run a little better on it, especially if it is a nice car, which his car is a nice car. I always grew up with Toyotas, Hondas. We always put regular unleaded in. That was it. And my dad always told me, and he might not be right about this, but he was like, yeah, the only difference, there is no like difference besides like a performance thing or something. I don't know. And I've Googled it, if that's what you're doing, and I can't get a straightforward answer. It always says putting 87 will not fuck your car up at the very least. But then there was like a couple things that said maybe it would. And I don't know. So I don't know what to think. And he hasn't brought it up again. So maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was just bad luck. But what are the odds that I hand the car over with a full tank, trying to be a mensch, and then I fucked his car up, which I feel bad about.
Now, the alert that he got, was it just like a check engine light?
Yeah.
How was he able to narrow down one of the plethora of issues to the gas that was put in?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
Because the check engine light, the check engine light is for like at least five things. I was thinking 30, but I want to say at least five.
Agreed. And the check engine. So, and also he needed an oil change in like 600 miles, which he said was normal. He's like, that's normal. I'm like, okay. And it's been fine. He's like, dude, it's all good. It's all good. He's just like being a homie, being my manager. Like he's not going to like be mad or like hold me accountable. I wasn't negligent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He didn't tell me what to do. So like, I think we both agree that like, I'm not on the hook. I think I did the proper thing, which was to like offer to alleviate some of the burden. I was like, you know, I'm assuming your warranty or whatever covers whatever work would need to be done. Potentially, I asked this question. I was like, if you want, at the very least, I can bring it into the shop for you, like to take some of the burden off your shoulders since you were so generous to let me borrow your car. He was like, nah, don't worry about it. So I think we both acted as gentlemen, and I didn't get defensive either. I wasn't like, oh, dude, I've never heard of that. I was like, dude, I didn't know that. I've never heard that before. I'm so sorry. Obviously, if I knew I was supposed to put in premium, I would have, especially since I have all these gas cards, which I would. So I don't know.
I want to hear about the gas cards in a second, but the fact like we don't even need to like that played out so amicably that we don't need to like play into like the awkward scenarios of like how that would fester.
Agreed.
Like it's like he didn't tell you, but you also didn't clap at him. It seems like everything's okay.
Everybody acted well. And he's also a guy who, if he's having a bad day, he can't hide it. So like it might not be, it will have nothing to do with me, but I can just tell like something's off with him, but I don't want to be like nosy, but I also start thinking, I'm like, did I do anything? Like he seemed like he was having a bad weekend even before that. Who knows what's going on with him? He was busy doing other stuff. None of my business. But like, I couldn't help but like start stewing about it a little bit. And like, not stewing, but like running through all the scenarios in my head. You know what I mean? But I think it's all good. As dust is settled.
Yeah. So wait, what are the gas cards?
Okay, so listen to this.
I thought these were mythical things.
Dude, so I did a gig, and as part of this program they have, there's technically no money for openers, but they have this like not-for-profit program or something where they pay the openers based from this fund. So like, say I open for you at a venue, and it's a Live Nation venue, a big venue, or what?
At the Beacon Theater.
Sure, say the Beacon Theater. I open for you at the Beacon Theater. Can't wait to do that, by the way.
No problem.
I'd be happy, and I would have no problem with you eclipsing me also. I'd be very happy to be involved, and hopefully you would hold me in high regard as once your sort of sensei, and now the sensei, the student has become the teacher, and I'd be happy to accept that new role.
Yeah, we'd have to just see how things play out, but yeah, so far, yeah.
We'll have to see how things play out. I hope for that for you, Ryan. but so say like normally, right, they've put together this fund where the openers can make money. So I think a lot of the time the idea is that this will go toward a band. So it's a lot of money. I was surprised how much money I got for this gig. Okay. So I was happy. Even if I had gotten half of the amount of money, I would have been happy. Okay. And I think it was, like I said, designed for a band, you're on the road, whatever. So you get half of the money in money. And half of the money in gas cards. So I don't have a car. I don't need gas cards. I think now that I think about it, I may have been able to be like, I don't have a car actually. And they might've had different gift cards they could have given me. They chose to give me the gas cards. I think she's like, do you have a car? Do you drive? I said, yes, but I don't have a car. I didn't get into the specifics. I just accepted the gas cards, not thinking about it. So half the money in, it was $750 in cash, $750 in gas cards.
Wow. That's a lot.
So many gas cards. Now, I thought about it, and I'm like, huh, do I have to pay taxes on the gas cards? And I do. The amount that was given to me is on my 1099 next year.
Really?
That reflects $750 in gas cards, which is where this starts to become a little annoying. Now, look, I would have been happy to get $500 of cash for this gig and been like, wow, this is amazing. $750 of gas cards is money. It's just going to take me a really fucking long time to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I'm like, okay, like when am I going to even, you know what I mean? This is like play money that I also have to pay taxes on. Like sucks. You know what I mean?
How many cards do you have?
So I have three, and listen to this. I went to use one and it didn't work. I spent hours calling different people who sent me to different places, and I eventually got a replacement card sent in the mail, but it took many hours, and it started to get to the point where I'm like, these fucking gas cards, dude. Big G drives all the time, and I offered them to, I was like, you want to buy these from me? He goes, yeah, I'll buy them for $400. I was like, you fucking dog, dude. You're lowballing your son?
That's fair.
But dude, I mean, yeah, like nobody's going to buy those for face value.
So are these... Yeah, so let's pretend I have no idea what a gas card is.
Okay.
Let's just pretend. These are essentially gift cards that are universally usable at any gas station.
No, at one specific gas station.
At a specific brand like Shell?
Yeah, that's exactly where they're for.
Okay.
Which, theoretically great, right? Unfortunately, in upstate New York, there's no Shell. So I kept just putting like $10 in of money, hoping that there'd be a Shell. And then I looked at the Shell finder and there was no Shell for hundreds of miles. In fact, there were Shells everywhere in the country except for this one circle of upstate New York. So I'm like, fuck, but whatever. I'm able to use it. It's
a real pain in the ass.
And listen, man, it's going to be, I don't think they expire. And that's great too, because at some point I'm going to be renting cars on the road. And at some point I'm going to be like, I don't have to worry about gas for a while, which is great. But I just thought that was like a kind of random and unique thing.
So do you carry it on you at all times?
So yeah, this is my new system. I carry two of them on me at all times.
Just in case.
Just in case I run.
$500 worth of gas. No.
Just in case like I end up running the balance all the way down on one of them unexpectedly. I want to make sure I have the extra one.
You should go to, next time you go to one, you should just stock up on gallon containers. And just bring them with you wherever you go.
Of
gas. Just put them in the trunk.
Well, this is another really nice thing, though. Works at the convenience store.
Inside?
Yeah.
peanuts, gum.
Which is good, but it can also be bad. Because example, fucking Danny Palmer. I'm like, dude, this is free money. Go get whatever you want. He just goes nuts. Like it was like the grocery store game show where you grab as much stuff as you can. He grabbed a king size Butterfinger. I'm like, what the dude? I've never seen someone eat that. But whatever. I told him he could. And Danny never takes advantage. It was nice of it. It was like, I'm fucking around. But it was just, I was surprised at how much shit he bought. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I need to remember that this is real money that I'm paying taxes on.
I can't believe you have to pay taxes on. I know. That makes it not cool at all.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
But again, I appreciate the gesture. And it was more money. I was so overpaid for this gig that I would do it again in a heartbeat. And while I'm sort of perplexed by the gas card thing, I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ultimately not complaining. As we all know now, I've moved to Brooklyn. I'm enjoying it. I like the extra walk that I have to get to the subway.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's nice getting some new steps in. So I'm also happy that I was able to get some new, nice compression socks. I have all different lengths. I have some long ones. I have some short ones. But they are compression socks, and they are from Dr. Motion.
It's showing off ankle season.
They have a smooth reinforced toe for optimal comfort and durability. They're breathable, antimicrobial, and anti-odor materials that keep your feet cool and dry.
You can actually feel the design and like the quality and how they put this sock together. It feels really, really nice. I love wearing them when I'm heading over on my stroll to your apartment.
So this is my new batch. I'm excited to rip these open and get them going. I've been messing around a lot with the higher length compression socks, but now I'm excited to bust out the ankle ones and really get in there. The spring and summer collection just launched on the website, so visit the website, drmotionsocks.com, to check out the products and explore the new collection. When I was upstate, hit a couple more national parks, which I was excited about and was fun, but I had like a big plan for the weekend as far as that went, and it didn't end up panning out, but that's fine. First of all, we left late on heading to Syracuse because I couldn't find my car keys or my manager's car keys. I just couldn't find them. I'm running up and down the block, tracing my steps. And when you move, you are so susceptible to losing shit.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know where anything is. I think I finally know where the stuff is in my house. But like before, I saw the keys that morning and then could not find them.
And you were in Albany, right?
No,
the night before?
We were in the city still.
Okay.
Syracuse was night one, Albany was night two. So we were planning to drive to Syracuse. And I had some like national parkage planned for that day, but we got like a 2 hour late start, 3 hour late start for a variety of reasons, including not being able to find my keys. So
the car. And this is just you and Danny?
Yeah. The car was parked on the street. So I get to the car, can't find the keys. We open all my bags, all the stuff, can't find them. I run back to the house, can't find it. Run back to the car, can't find it. Then go to the only place that I stopped and was like, you guys wouldn't happen to have found some car keys, would you? Like it went that far.
You went in and asked?
And I heard someone go, sorry, dude. And I'm like, yeah, I know, fuck.
Such a defeated feeling.
Dude, and then they were just underneath this cushion on this couch. And I don't know how, I forgot. Like, I guess I was like in here like adjusting the couch or something and forgot.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take for you to find them?
Like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So anyway, so missed the national park there. Then a couple of them were closed. Then we went to the Saratoga National whatever battlefield, and the driving tour was closed, which is like the best part of it. And there's a walking trail, but it was like muddy and it was also cold and we didn't have a ton of time. So it's like, it's really hard to plan a national park visit perfectly when you don't have enough time to see it. So like you need to hope that everything goes perfectly. And I don't like to overplan because I don't like ruining it for myself. I want to like see it, but it's pretty. And it's like, we still got to see some of the pretty views, but it was a little bit of a bummer that we sort of didn't get to do the driving because it's like a 12-mile loop and it's really pretty and we didn't get to do it.
And this is it?
Yeah, this is all it. So
pretend I don't know anything about Saratoga National Park. What is significant about it?
So I think it was like the turning point in the American Revolutionary War. So after the Battle of Saratoga, I guess the American rebels or whatever were able to score a couple of significant victories that sort of news got out about that. And I think that the French were willing to get involved to give us the critical support we needed to win the war.
That's pretty damn spot on with the with the generic Google search. It's almost as if you told the internet what to type out and then ChatGPT did its best. Seriously, dude, you said The Battle of Saratoga was a turning point in the Revolutionary War. The American defeat of the superior British army lifted patriot morale, furthered the hope for independence, and helped to secure the foreign support needed to win the war. It's literally what you just said.
Thank you. Nice. We tried to shoot a little vlog, which I don't know if it's going to end up being any good because we didn't get to do much, but it was just me and Danny fucking around. So maybe it'll be kind of funny. Maybe it'll be terrible.
You just throw it up.
We'll try. I'm going to try cutting it, but we'll see. So we did that. And then we went to see Martin Van Buren's house. Honest question. Do you even know who that is?
Was he a president?
He was. Good job.
That's all I know, though.
So, yeah, it's funny because he is a early president, but I would argue he's a pretty unknown one. I didn't know much about him. Danny read a couple of his things to me. I can't recall what any of them were.
He was the first U.S. president born as a U.S. citizen.
Interesting.
He's the first president. He's a U.S. president.
Right. I believe he was the eighth president.
Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe.
Quincy Adams.
Adams, Jackson, Van Buren. Eight. Yeah.
Can you do the whole thing with the song?
I think I get fizzy about halfway through. Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Adams, Jackson, Van Buren, Harrison, Tyler, Porkin, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson. I think I might have skipped a few there.
I don't think you did.
Eisenhower.
No, you're
right there. That's where I lose. Skip. Got it. Eisenhower, Kennedy. Dun 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 dun. Ford and Carter, Reagan. I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah,
that was good. And I guess that song is a loop, so you can go forever. Trump and Biden, maybe Trump again.
Yeah, can you do it?
No. In fact, I was gonna say I can get to Tyler, which is number 10, and from there, I guess now you just did it, so now I can maybe say a couple more. So
Polk, can you go where I left off?
Yeah, I think.
So let me set you up then.
So wait, no, actually, maybe not. Polk, Taylor, is that wrong? Polk and Taylor.
Fillmore. Pierce.
Oh yeah, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln.
Johnson.
Grant. Or is it Lincoln, Grant, Johnson?
I think it's Lincoln, Johnson, Grant.
Lincoln, Johnson, Grant. After Grant, I'll be honest, I can't do it at all until once we get to Teddy Roosevelt. I can do the rest in order from the top of my head.
Anyway, let's do this. Okay. Let's see. Okay, so.
Can you guys do this? Do you guys know the presidents?
Fillmore, Pierce, Buchanan, Lincoln, Johnson.
Okay, wait. Grant?
Yes.
Okay, let me see how I can do from here. I don't think I can do it. I just know in no particular order. We then have Benjamin Harrison at some point. Is Garfield next later. After Grant?
No, there's one before. He Arthur? Only served one term.
Hayes,
then Garfield.
Okay.
And then keep going with where you think you were going with it.
Garfield, I don't know. Dude, I just don't know. Arthur?
Yeah.
Oh, really? And then Harrison?
One before him.
Did I say it already?
No.
Arthur, Hayes.
So you did this up until this point.
Who's after Arthur?
Lincoln, Johnson, Grant, Hayes, Garfield, Arthur, Harrison.
Oh, did I not say Harrison?
No, you did say Harrison. Oh,
so Garfield, Harrison.
No, that is the missing guy.
Oh, before Harrison.
Yeah.
I can maybe get this. Garfield, Hayes, Harrison.
If you want a hint, I won't say it, but let me know if you do, and I'll give it to you. Okay. It's a very broad one.
Yeah, I'll take the hint.
There's a city named after this person, a major city.
Oh, President San Diego. Dad, no, Carmen San Diego. Man. You can just tell me.
Cleveland.
Grover fucking Cleveland. And then Arthur's president again after that, right?
So it's Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley. And it's Roosevelt.
Who served twice? Wasn't it Arthur who served, then was out, and then was president again? Does this not account for that? There was one president in our history who's done it, because now Trump may be the second one to do it.
Oh, Cleveland again after Harrison.
Got it.
Okay. So Cleveland did his thing, then right. Harrison took over, and then Cleveland came back.
And then, what's his name? Who we just said?
Then McKinley.
So wait, but before McKinley, who is it?
Cleveland, second time. Before him, Harrison.
Got it. Cleveland, fucking Cleveland. And then, okay. So Harrison, Cleveland. And then from there, I think I could do it. Then it's McKinley, Roosevelt, Taft, Woodrow Wilson, Warren Harding, Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, FDR, Truman, Eisenhower, JFK, Andrew Johnson. Sorry, not Andrew Johnson. Lyndon B. Johnson, James Buchanan, Nixon, then Buchanan. Not James Buchanan. Who am I? Gerald Ford, I'm thinking of. Sorry. Ford is after Nixon, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then from there, I think it's just kind of obvious. So Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden.
Nice.
Not that impressive. We got there eventually. That may have to be edited for brevity. But we got there eventually. So presidents. Anyway, we went to Martin Van Buren's house.
I was like, why did we do that?
So it's south of Albany. It's kind of in a nice area. I stand by what I've always said about all national park sites, in that they do a really good job of making them pretty and interesting. And it's also fun to get off the beaten path. There's no way to sort of plan where these things are going to be, since they all happened at different points in our history. So they're not built next to obvious things all the time. I will say that if I had to rank them all from the ones that I've been to, I would potentially put Van Buren's house toward the bottom
yeah.
of the list of significance. And it's just right next to a major road. It's like a two-way road. It's not like a highway, but, and it's pretty, but it's like a small property and it's only open during a specific season. But I typically maintain that going inside some of these houses, especially the older ones, isn't as interesting, because it's usually not the original furniture. So all things considered, if you had to rank them all, I'd probably put Van Buren's house in the bottom five.
Would you say it could just be a drive-by?
I guess. I don't think, like, if you're there, you might as well get out, pop around. But
how big is the house?
It's big. It's nice. Just take a peek at it. It's a cool looking house. But, you know, all in all, maybe not super exciting. Dude, moving is just absolutely kicking my ass. It's been so tough and so hard to, like, not know where specific stuff is that your day is typically planned around. I'm like, oh, typically at this exact moment, I take out a pen and I write this down on this piece of paper, and I don't know where either of those things are. So I've been losing a lot of time.
It's stressful.
Yeah. So thank God, dude, we have Factor meals coming in ready to rip, because I'm able to prepare and eat my meal very, very quickly, since I just simply don't have time to do that right now. I think we're over the hump. So hopefully we're going to be settling in, but it's been nice. The Factor's been here along the way, and we look forward to enjoying a lot of their delicious cuisine in the future as well.
Yeah. Unlike some of the stuff that you're trying to put away and you're having a tough time finding, you'll never have a tough time finding those boxes that Factor sent over. I wish that those boxes were edible, because it's such sexy packaging. The food's delicious. There's no doubt about that, but I just get so excited whenever I see Factor.
It looks like scientific and futuristic. It's cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of good variety, a lot of different chef designed meals, and all sorts of different cuisines. It's a lot of fun, and it's delicious, and it will keep you on your toes in a good way. And you can obviously select the type of meals that you want as well, but I kind of like to leave it up to chance personally, and be as vague as possible with my criteria. But you can be specific, and it can accommodate all diets as well.
And all meals: breakfast, lunch, dinner, midday bites, smoothies. They got everything for
all
you. We absolutely love working with Factor, and we love eating Factor, and we love getting their sexy boxes in the mail. So head to factormeals.com/oops50 and use code oops50 to get 50% off. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's code oops50 at factormeals.com/oops50 to get 50% off.
Okay, so we got some emails here, folks. You guys have sent some good ones. We definitely want to cover some of these, because they are funny. There's one email called Crazy situation. It's basically sort of a Pilates inspired workout class. It's extremely hard. As far as a like suspended reformer machine class, this is probably the hardest one I've ever done. I think most people agree that it's hard, but like hardcore Pilates people will be like, it's not Pilates. And it's also the home of the funniest line I've ever heard in a workout class, which is when the instructor was like, make your legs straight, not all the way straight, almost straight. Like who? That's right, my ex-boyfriend. Okay. Hey guys, love the pod and the chats. Had a crazy thing happen during class and wanted to share. There was about 10 minutes left of class and we were finishing up standing inner thigh squats. Everybody was facing the and the instructor was also at the front of everyone with her back to us doing the squat to demonstrate the move. Julio should understand these references. I do very well. I imagine this is obvious to you, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm following along.
As she goes down to squat, she shits her pants everywhere. Bro, what the? Like, she had shorts on and had basically a blowout all over the floor.
Oh, no.
Dude, these classes are dark and loud and loud. These classes are dark and loud music, but because she was in front of everyone, the entire class saw and smelled the incident. Everyone proceeded to get off their machines and tiptoe around the shit to leave class. We were gifted one free class and never heard of it again. Bro, that is crazy. I feel so bad for the teacher.
In any job, shitting yourself, it must be so difficult to come back for the next day or the next shift, but even more so in a fitness class when you're like the team leader and you're wearing more vulnerable clothing. I don't know how you come back from that.
Dude, that is insane. That is absolutely insane.
It seems like it's nice that everyone tiptoed out though.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you...
Imagine someone's like, I feel like the fitness community tends to be positive. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance, look, like... I know a lot of people talk about this. I don't always feel this way, but I get it. People want their fitness instructor to look the way they want to look, right? And a lot of the time that includes a high fiber diet, dude. A lot of roughage, a lot of good stuff. And like that can happen to those kind of people.
Yeah.
Too much fiber. Dude, that's wild.
I don't know how you can come back and be the confident leader after such a vulnerable...
Do you need to move after that?
Potentially. Even like you might need to leave the city. Word gets around. Like people are going to know. What does the 3 minutes after the accident look like for her in that situation?
I wonder... I have no idea. Was she like, oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm sick. Like I didn't...
Yeah.
I thought I was fine.
Like, do you, like, what do you clean first? Do you take care of yourself? Can you take care of yourself? Do you, like, I don't know how, like, that's traumatic.
Right, especially if you've gotten some on the machines. So there's a lot of, like, wet wipes.
Yeah.
In a lot of these places. So I think I would just immediately... Once I've handled the people... Then I think I would want to, dude, I don't know. I think maybe the move is, dude, I just don't know. If there are clothes, if there's extra clothes in this place, like these places usually have showers. You run and take a shower, you get a pair of shorts, you explain what happened really quickly to the front person, be like, I shit myself, I need a pair of shorts and I'm going to go clean it up. I want to die. Please be gentle with me.
I'm thinking of like...
And then I'd go clean it.
Yeah. I'm thinking of like 3 or 4 solutions as to what I could do proactively, but they all get trumped by the thought of just like crying and running home.
You need to throw your clothes away. And hopefully there are new clothes. And if there are, you're in an okay spot. Yeah. As long as there's a shower and new clothes, you're good. You're not good because everyone just saw that and you did it all over the room and... As people were tiptoeing out, they like got some on their bodies probably.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's not great.
You can't afford to think about that in that moment, which is just so terrible. It just magnifies how awful of a situation it is. You can't even think about the people that left the class because you have to focus on so much more in the moment.
Yeah. I wonder if all the people in the class just collectively said nothing and filed out of the class. That's the proper way to handle that. Helping is terrible. You can't, no one expects you to clean up human shit, dude.
So the next class, what would you appreciate more? The next class, let's say hypothetically the exact same students, nobody acknowledge that it ever happened and pretend like it didn't happen, or get a signed card from every member. Everyone signs their name on the card just saying like, we hope you're feeling better.
No. See, that's the thing. You can't, offering support in a moment that's that embarrassing compounds the embarrassment. You know, like you just got to leave and put your head down, pretend like you never saw it. Don't comment. Don't say anything and never bring it up again. You can't be like, are you okay? Do you need help? Like, you don't need, even if the person helping is helpful, it's not, because I don't want to see someone else cleaning up my shit, dude. So you just get out of there. The problem is the following. There's another class waiting to come in. And I'm curious to see if this was like, I think there's two gaps in the day. There might be like in the afternoon, 1 or 2 hours where there's no class. And then the last class of the day will be at like 7 or something. So if it was the last class of the day, it's great. But if it's not, there's another class of people waiting to go in. I think what you need to do is try your best to brush it under the rug.
And do the next class?
No. So everybody leaves. Hopefully those people aren't interacting. But there's no way the next people aren't going to see, because people are going to be like, oh my God, ew. Like, there's going to be people doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people will be like, what happened? And they're going to tell them.
Yeah.
If they don't interact, as the manager of the studio, you go, hey guys, sorry. It smells like shit in there because the pipes are broken.
Mm-hmm.
You protect the instructor, who, by the way, is probably teaching the next class, or was supposed to.
They're definitely not teaching the next class. You'd also say like, hey, somebody had an accident in there, and don't need to specify that it was the instructor.
Totally. There was an accident.
Somebody had an accident. Yeah. It sucks.
Nice. That's actually really good.
That's tough.
Well done, Lynch.
That's tough.
But in theory, if the teacher were able to clean off and put on new clothes, they could likely teach the next class unless they are sick, which it sounds like that sort of explosive situation is typically somebody who is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were just being a trooper and trying to get through the day.
You got to have like Mamba mentality to be able to do like the next class after having that happen to you. The mental fortitude. Dude, I don't think you go home.
Yeah.
You go home. And I don't know how to function as a human being after something like that. So I just wish her the best.
Well, yeah, guys, eat fiber with care, and be careful when you're doing squats if you feel like you got to go. So that's that. Come see me on the road, guys. I am in Washington, D.C. next weekend, the 4th through the 6th of April. That's going to be a lot of fun. The 7th, I'm at the Punchline in Atlanta. I also have Detroit, Boston, Pasadena, California, Portland, Oregon, all coming up on the schedule. Come see a show, not Julio. .com. Lynch, what do you have to add?
Yeah, again, send us emails to oopsthepodcast@gmail.com. Stories like this, anything. We love to hear them, and there's plenty more that we haven't had a chance to read yet. And then check me out at Ryan's Really Polite. I am going to be performing at Black Cat Lower East Side this Friday at 9 p.m., Danny Palmer's show. Always a fun time. Really excited about that. And then on Monday, I will be at Flophouse Comedy doing the lottery mic, which is this new show that they have going on. And that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll see you guys next week as we get closer to episode 500.
Boom.